Blog Talk Radio.
Jim Bird from the Killer Bees Barbecue team hosting the Barbecue Superstars tonight. Hell yeah, Jim Bird is in the house. We've got a wonderful show coming up for y'all tonight. We've got Bubba Q from William Bubba Latimer. He's going to be calling in talking about his restaurant and also his all the competitions he's been doing and the success he's had in the past few years. Me being from Georgia, I've had to compete against him several times. So we are, we're good friends, and we compete against each other, and, we have fun doing it. So we've got he's going to be on the show tonight. We've got Michael Harmon from Palmetto Smokehouse going to call in a little bit later. He's also a restaurateur. He also competes. He was did very well in South Carolina Barbecue Association last year, and he's doing very well. So anyway, a little bio on my team is we've been competing for just a little bit over a year. We do mainly KCBS. We have done one FBA, a couple South Carolina Barbecue Associations, and also some SBN. So with the Southern Barbecue Network, it's a new sanctioning body coming on strong, and we're going to be promoting that 100%. So we will be taking some callers. Anybody that's wanting to call in, we've got a big show cook-off coming up this Saturday in Greenwood, South Carolina. It's a humongous show, and we've got over 80 professional teams, a lot of bull, smoking triggers, barbecue, wicked Q, Chatham Artillery, Pit Bulls Up in Smoke, you name it, they're going to be there. It's going to be a clash of a lot of states. You got North Carolina, South Carolina, Texas, Kansas. I mean, all over the place. So it's going to be a wonderful event up there. They're expecting anywhere between 20,000 to 30,000 people to be showing up there. And Greenwood is just a wonderful city. And we're glad to be part of that. We will be up there. Hopefully we can be broadcasting live the awards and, see how everybody places. We've got couple of SBN contests coming up that we're going to be doing. We've got a few more KCBS around here. Dillard's another big contest in Georgia. We've got some South Carolina events coming up. And we will be pretty much all around the southeastern United States the rest of the year. We've got about another 20 contests to go. So we're looking forward to that. We've done pretty well so far, considering this being my first full year of doing this. So we've taken a few grand championships along the way and quite a few reserves in the kitchen. Yes, do we have a caller? Hello?
Hey, buddy, we're just waiting on the barbecue, and I was trying to put the link up so everybody could find your show right quick, and I'm sorry if you can hear it in the background because it usually echoes if you got the show going. But, boy, it sounds like you're going to be busy, Jim. You got a lot coming up.
Yeah, we do. We've got a lot of really tough competitions coming up, and you know, we're going to be competing against a lot of these guys. We, you know, a lot of teams from Georgia do very well against the rest of the country, and you know, we're just showcasing what we can do down here in the Southeast. It's, we've got a lot of good teams in Georgia, quite a few in South Carolina, North Carolina, and you know, anywhere that we clash with the people in the Midwest or West, you know, we hold our own. We, we're kind of a so-called an outcast of the KCBS in a way because, you know, Georgia just don't take a good barbecue. But, you know, we hold our own pretty well. And we have a caller coming in. Let's see who we have here. Hello.
It's Bubba.
Hey, Bubba. How you doing, buddy?
I'm all right. What's going on?
Just hanging out here on the Barbecue Superstars. I'm glad you called in. We're doing a little bio. We want to hear from you. We're kind of doing a show where people who compete and own a restaurant. I know you want, you've got one of the best barbecue restaurants in the state of Georgia. Actually, you have two of them. And we want to get your feedback on how it is to compete. You've done very well. You've done, you know, Barbecue Pit Masters. You've done several national contests. You travel all over the country, and just want to get some insight, a little bio on barbecue.
Well, you know, I think for any of us to go out there and do what we do, as much as those of us that go out on a regular basis, you know, you got to love what you do. I'm so extremely fortunate and blessed that I get to do that and make a living at it as well. You know, I have incredible people that work for me at my restaurants that help me run the business and keep things going. And it doesn't say that, you know, we don't have problems. It's just going to happen, you know, and you just deal with it. You know, because, you know, contests, it's a 3 to 4 day ordeal when we go out and do these things. So when you're running out, you know, last year there were 6 weekends I did not cook somewhere last year. I mean, that's just an incredible amount of time away from a business, and to be able to have it still run and be successful, you've got to have good people around you. And, you know, I'm still very, very involved with my businesses. I mean, you know, when I'm not out on the road, I'm at work. I mean, I still have those 60-hour weeks in 3 days, it seems like.
Yeah, I've seen you at some of the contests. You're always on the computer or talking to people and everything, and people, you know, I guess when I first started this thing a little over a year ago, you know, you kind of starstruck when you first get in. I give you a little insight on, you know, me beginning. You see all these people on TV. You know who's already good before you start competing against them and everything. And it's just, you know, I did notice one thing with you, though, was, you know, as much as the success as you've had with your businesses and competing, you know, you're just a regular guy. You put your shoes on one at a time. And, you know, people come up and talk to you. You know, there's times like when you're doing your prep work or in the middle of your cook or whatever. You know, everybody knows when those times are. But, you know, it just surprised me how approachable guy you were and how humble you were. And, you know, like I said, you're gracious for what you got. And, you know, and that means a lot, you know, especially for newcomers. You look at it, there's no arrogance there. You know, it's just, and everybody's kind of a family. And we prove that by, you know, doing a little cooks now on Thursday and Friday nights, and you know, it's just a good fellowship with everybody out there.
You know, it really is. You know, there are times when I'm out there and I do just want to be left alone and I'll keep to myself. And I guess it's just, you know, from, you know, when running throughout the week with what I do with the restaurant show, I run back and forth. I deal with that, and I try and deal with family and then try and go out and compete and win a contest as well. You know, you got to try and have a little bit of downtime. But at the same token, it is important. I've been very fortunate to have some success with this. But, you know, just like you said, I put my shoes on 1 foot at a time. You know, I get up in the morning, brush my teeth, go to the bathroom, take a shower, and do all the same things that everybody else does. It doesn't make me any different than anybody else, realistically. When we go out there on the weekends, we're all eyeing for the same thing. We're all putting forth, you know, time, effort, and money into this, and everybody's due their fair share. And the camaraderie around it, you can't buy that. You can't replace it. You know, it's just, it's making lasting and lifetime memories out there. And, you know, like I said, you know, we get together, you know, we've done a lot of these Thursday and Friday night dinners this year and just had some really great fellowship out there. And as much as I want to win a contest, if I don't win, I'm happy for the person that does win. You know, I want to see my friends win. I mean, we're all out there doing the same thing. You know, maybe I've got it this weekend, maybe I don't. But it doesn't mean that I won't be back and that, you know, I'm, you know, hell-bent, you know, and uptight and sore that I didn't win. It's part of it. It's what we do. We are, excuse me, we are in a competition that is being judged by people with differences of opinion. And we're not going to please those people every given weekend. You know, we've all turned in great food and been hammered. We've all turned in bad food and been rewarded. It just all goes around. So you take it as it comes. You know, it is nice to, on a regular basis, kind of be in the game, and that's more or less what I want to do. But, you know, if you don't win, you shrug it off and move on to the next one.
Well, that's true. You know, like I said, you have your ups and downs. It's a roller coaster. You just try to level it out a little bit. I mean, you cook the same food week in and week out. And, you know, from one contest to another, you can do very well and you can do very bad at the next one. Or, you know, pretty much you're consistently in the top, you know, five on most of these events and everything. And, you know, I will bring up a bad one up there and try and, you know, another thing that just kind of got me about you was, you know, even though you had a less than perfect finish, most people would have just been complaining and, you know, blaming the judges and everything else. And I don't know what you did when you got in the camper, but, you know, it's you didn't do that. You know, you just, I think you were shocked, actually. But, you know, it just showed your character up there, though. That's what I'm getting at. I mean, it just showed your character. You get so many people that just blame the judges for every little thing. And, you know, everybody's in the same boat.
Well, you know, we are, and I think as competitors, we are going to gripe and bitch a little bit about the judges. Just that's just the nature of the beast. You know, the one thing that I think is really important, even if you're bitching about something, you don't be disrespectful to the other people that got calls, the people that win. You know, you can burn off a little steam and let it go. I don't see any problem with that. I think it's the fact of the matter, if you decide to bitch up a storm, go in the camper, slam your door, not come out and talk to anybody if you're going to be hanging out or anything like that, it is what it is, you know. Try-on, yeah, you know, I was upset about it. You know, try-on's always been good to us, you know, and it's definitely a contest I want to win, but, you know, it's just, you know, we have such a great time up there that, you know, not being in there, in the whole grand scheme of things, it really didn't matter to me. I enjoyed the weekend more than anything itself, and I paid back. You know, we did the dinners Thursday and Friday night, and I did a lot of payback on dinners, you know, cooking food for everybody those 2 days and everybody that contributed to it. You know, and that meant more to me than anything else. And I think that any time we can do that above and beyond winning and going out and having a good time, that camaraderie and that time together with people, that's the heart and soul of what we do. You know, and now don't get me wrong, I'm not interested in going out and spending $1,000+ a weekend just to go have a good time, because I could stay home and have a lot of really nice parties doing that myself. But, you know, it's what we do.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's not an obsession, it's a passion. And, you know, what I've noticed about the barbecue people that we see, and we see most of these teams week in and week out. And, you know, like even down there at the Boss Hog Cook-Off, you know, we had, I counted, I think, almost 18 teams involved in something we just put together that day.
Right.
And, you know, and everybody, somebody would take the lead on one contest to another, and, you know, your dinner that you cooked, mainly you cooked on Thursday night, was awesome. And so, you know, it brings the other guys back together, like me and several other people, to come back on Friday night and, you know, do something. So
that's it.
You can ask my wife. It's like, you know, I talk more about the people, you know, talking to y'all at these cook-offs on these Thursday and Friday night meals than I do about our place and everything. I mean, it's coming to that where it's just good to see everybody. You know, I don't see any, like last 3 weeks I hadn't done one, so I can't wait to get up Greenwood and go around and BS with all the teams and see what's going on and all this other stuff. Because, you know, we go back to our real jobs after these contests, and, you know, you keep in touch with a few of them, but, you know, all in all, you know, three or four of them at the most.
So that, well, you're exactly right. You know, I don't remember what the last event was I did, to be honest with you, but I know I think I've been home for about 3 or 4 weeks myself. And it's been kind of nice, I do have to say, you know, and we've been extremely busy at work. We've probably done catering for close to 5,000 people in the last 3 weeks. And then, of course, the 4th of July, which is like our Super Bowl, and this year we had unprecedented record-breaking numbers. You know, so it has been nice to not deal with the pressures of being on the road, but I do miss being out. And, you know, Greenwood is a great contest to be at. And for any of y'all that are listening, try and make it out to Greenwood, the Festival of Discovery. It is an awesome, awesome venue to be at. The town rolls out the red carpet for everybody.
Yeah, there's a few contests that, like when I was first getting into this, that you said that you really have a must-do. And that, really and truthfully, that is a must-do. Every team that you see there has been there one time or another. Some of them are coming back. I mean, the whole festival is something that you cannot miss. There's no entry fee. You know, there's going to be over 80 top cookers. I mean, you know, you've got probably 20 to 25 of the top 100 teams in the country going to be up there. And that's a lot for one contest. There's over 80 professional teams.
It's a great venue. Other than the goddamn heat, there's, you know, the only thing you can complain about, you know, but I think we're dealing with some cooler temperatures. I think we're pushing for the 80s this week, which will be nice.
Yeah, we're going to have to break out the sweaters and stay by the smokers, I guess, to keep warm. But, yeah, the last few years have been brutal up there. We vented it the first year we did it, and I told Jan never again will we ever vent that event just because of the heat. You know, so as far as your business, I realize, you know, with you've got two barbecue restaurants, one in Jasper and one in Woodstock, Georgia, and I've had some other of my barbecue buddies, hadn't had the pleasure of being up there yet, but they were telling me just how great all your food is, and like you said, with record numbers, you've got to have good food. And there's two things. I know we do some catering or we've been at one of these events. I do know one thing, that trophies do sell food a lot quicker than non-trophies. And number two is, do you try to not set up a competition around these important holidays because you know your businesses are going to be just booming, or is it just after the fall that way, or how do you combat that?
Well, you know, when you take the 4th of July, you know, I'm always home the 4th of July. Like I said, those, you know, 4th of July, Memorial and Labor Day are the three biggest holidays we deal with throughout the year. Now, Memorial Day, I think that's the later one. That's in September, I believe. I always get Labor Day and Memorial Day backwards.
Labor Day's in September.
All right, Labor Day's in September. There are times I miss that holiday because we have a family vacation that we go on every year, and sometimes it falls around that time. But 4th of July is the biggest, and regardless of anything going on, I'll be home that week. It's just there's just too much going on. You know, the other holidays, the other major, if I can be there, I do want to be there for that stuff because I am involved. But I have complete faith in to my staff. I mean, that's what we've hired them for. That's what we've trained them for. And they know what to do. I'm not one of these people that runs around micromanaging people. I had in my earlier years with my other business, it was all about making money and doing this and that. And don't get me wrong, I'm still all about making money, but there's more to it. I think that when you have, you give your staff a lot of respect and you give them responsibility, and you treat them like they're people, you're much more successful. I mean, I own the place. I make the final decisions on everything, but I don't run my restaurants. My staff is what runs the restaurants. I don't want employees. When we hire people, I'll tell them that. You know, I want a staff. I want a crew. And typically, I'm not going to be the one that is going to fire somebody when we hire them, because if they don't mix and get in with the crew, the crew's going to push them out, and then we'll have to fire them.
Right.
You know, and it just it goes a long, long ways, you know, to just be able to treat people with respect. I know that, you know, when I was younger with my other business, I didn't really have to deal with employees, but even when I worked with, for other people many years ago, I always said, you know, if I ever owned my own business and dealt with employees, I knew exactly how I would deal with it. And even when we opened up the first restaurant, I mean, I spent every waking moment there. I mean, if I went on vacation, I closed the place because I didn't have that. I guess it was more me. I'm not going to say that I didn't have trust and faith in my staff. It was just more me. But at some point, you have to relinquish that and let that go. And it'll actually, I think if you have a good thing going, it makes your business that much more successful.
Yeah, you know, we own a sandwich shop here in the Costa, and we play my barbecue down there. The like what you said, you almost got to kick your employees out of the nest, and you reap the benefits from it. You know, my wife, she's wanting to come to these contests and stuff, and you know, her being down there the whole time, I was really adamant about her doing that and showing these people, because when she wasn't there and I was there, I could really see how the girls work together. And so it wasn't until recently she started doing that. Now she's reaping the benefits. She's more relaxed because if she needs to take off, she can. You know, the girls are doing a great job. They're, you know, and they're stepping up to the plate. And like you said, there comes a time when you either got to do it or you got to find somebody else to take the job.
Well, you do. And, you know, one thing you mentioned, you know, from a health standpoint of view, it's not healthy to run your business and be there constantly and worry about everything that is happening or that's going on. Problems are going to arise whether I'm there or not. It's a matter of, can those problems be dealt with? And if it's really important, then they get in touch with you and you deal with it. I mean, you know, I'm available 24/7 to my staff, and they know that. You know, and I do. I treat my staff like family. You know, if they're in trouble, I help them out, you know, any way that I can. But, and also, I think when you install that responsibility and respect on your staff, it gives them a lot of self-pride knowing that they're doing a good job. And you hope that, at the same token, that they enjoy their job and their work environment. And if you can keep those dynamics in play, it only makes everybody successful.
Well, you don't want them there just to collect a paycheck. You want them there to better themselves. You want to see them better themselves. And, you know, like with my guys, I can leave because I've got two of them that's been with me since day one. And I can leave and I know the job will be done right. Yeah, granted, there might be a fire here or there to take out, but, you know, you worry about that on Monday and Tuesday when you get back.
That's right.
So
that's exactly right.
There's bigger fish to fry, so to speak. And like I said, you hire people. It's just like a president. You know, if you're not going to be that good, then you hire people that will make you that good. Same way in the business, I believe. You know, you hire people that help support, and they work together, they mesh together, they know what to do, and you don't have to be there to tell them every little thing. So if you're there, then, you know, you might as well get somebody else to take the job. It's not going to work.
That's right. You know, it's interesting, you know, when we talk about that, you know, all of our big caterings that we deal with, I try and be involved with every single one of those. You know, and over the last several weeks, you know, we've had a lot of 800-plus caterings that we've dealt with. And I think that my crew now, we've gotten to the point where they can go out and tend to these. And a perfect example is on the 4th of July, on top of everything that is going on at the restaurant and all hell breaking loose, you know, from the phone starts ringing at 7 a.m. until God knows when, we have a country club that we do they do their member appreciation on the 4th of July. So we have 1,000 people to feed at 5 o'clock on the 4th of July on top of everything else. Well, you know, that's a lot to get ready for. You know, and you have a lot of planning, and I watch my guys sit there a few days beforehand, and they talk about it. You know, we have all these prep sheets of what we're going to do, you know, and they're working it all out. And on the 4th, about 3 o'clock, I had an emergency, and I had to leave the restaurant. My oldest son was hurt, so I had to leave. And I got the phone call, and it said, I have to go, and left. Well, you know, we're in the midst of loading up the vehicles and the trailer to haul off and go. You know, when I get done dealing with Austin and his problem, I go out to the country club, you know, and this is the first event that they've gone out on without me that's that large and had everything ready. They were actually sitting there. They had half an hour just sitting there waiting to hang out before everything started. And it's very comforting to know that you have staff and people that can take care of that for you. They're like, hey, we got to get to your thing.
That's right. You know, a lot of times, like you said, a lot of times they don't even want you to be there. You know, they want to be able to take the reins and go on with it. Now, I've got another caller on the line. This is Michael Harmon, I believe, was talking about a smokehouse. He just opened up a restaurant called the Smokehouse Grill down there in Beaufort, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, so Jim, how you doing?
Good.
Good, how are you, Jim?
Michael?
Yes, sir.
Hey, buddy,
how are you doing?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing well, doing well.
By the way, Pick and Porkers just called in. That's the bottom note.
Okay. Well, we'll get Roger on here. If you give me about a minute and a half, I'll introduce Michael, and we'll get Roger on here. I want to try to get everybody to talk about their catering. Michael just opened up a new restaurant. He was in South Carolina Barbecue Association runner-up team of the year last year. He does FBA, KCBS, SCN. South Carolina Barbecue Association, anything you can get his hands on, pretty much. Very serious competitor. I competed against him several times, and he ripped my butt a few times. So we'll get him on here and talk about his restaurant. And, Bubba, if there's any insight you can give him on owning your own restaurant, that would be great. Because, like I said, I know you do a large volume out of your two restaurants, and you just did an expansion a little while back, and... which is great. So Michael, how you been doing, buddy?
Doing good, Jim. How are you?
I've been doing fine. So what's on your agenda for your restaurant?
Well, right now, just to kind of give you a rundown, Jim, we've been open about 3 months. Our location is between Beaufort and Hilton Head, South Carolina. And, so far we've done rather well. The community's been out and... actually have supported what we're doing. It was a foreclosure building for a long time, so it was kind of hard to get people back in the door because everybody's used to riding by it and, you know, being a foreclosure, nothing's in it, so forth and so on. So we had to work out a lot of kinks, and, we've got some good loyal people that have actually started coming in. We're starting to see new faces. We're starting to see faces, you know, that we see every week. So it's been pretty good. So far, so good.
You're fixing to do some competition. I think Bubba and you are probably going to be competing against each other down at FBA in Suwannee, Florida.
I'm going down to smoke on the Suwannee. I've never cooked against Bubba yet. Heard a lot about him, and obviously, we keep track of who's doing what, where, and so forth and so on. So definitely can't wait to get down there and compete with him and a lot of other great teams, from what I can understand. I think they've got almost 100-plus down there.
Yeah, well, I know when I compete against Bubba, I always fight for second place. So just
I just want to park beside him. How about that?
That's it. I mean, he kicked my butt so many times. You know, when you compare yourself by who you beat and everything, he's pretty much always got a target on his back when he goes to these, whether he realizes it or not. But, you know, because he's been so successful. So, but like I said, he's a humble guy, and I hope you two can, Bubba, are you going to be down there at that one, or?
I'm not sure if I'm going to be in Suwannee yet or not. We're signed up. I know Jared is going for sure. I actually got a wild hair up my ass the other day and decided that we needed to take a vacation and get away. So I booked a trip to Jamaica, and we're leaving next Monday, and I'll be gone 8 days, and then we come back, and that's the week of Suwannee. I think we fly back in Monday or Tuesday, and then if I go, that's Thursday. I know Jared will be leaving to head down Thursday, and I may meet him there. I really, right now, it's 50-50 whether I'll be there. I would like to, especially I've done it twice before. Jared's gone down, done it a couple of times. But now that Damon has opened it up and has gotten it so big, I would really like to be down there on it. So odds are I'll probably be there. I can't say for 100%.
Right. Well, I know Raymond Ford from Rescue Smokers just opened up a restaurant in Ashburn called the Rescue Smokehouse. Y'all go by there and see it. I know that's Robbie's and his next contest is that one. Talked to Robbie the other day. So that would be an interesting one to go to. If anybody wants to go to another awesome event, that's one you need to go to, because I mean, they're pulling in teams from KCBS, SBN, South Carolina, Florida, NBN, everything. I mean, there's so many different teams and different sanctioning bodies going to be coming to that one. It's just going to be phenomenal. We've got another caller here. I believe it is my good friend Roger Wise from Clemson, North Carolina. How you doing, Roger?
I am well, Jim. I hope you are. And where's Mr. Darrell at? Has he been here? Or are you hogging the whole show like I will?
Darrell just kind of said, just keep talking so he doesn't have to come in here. But he's still hanging on. I see him every now and then popping up. You still there, Darrell?
No,
Darryl,
no.
He's laughing,
you know,
in the back.
I'll talk all day long. The last time I was on Darrell's show, I just talked and really had to catch myself. And Bubba, if you're still on, it's always good to hear from you. I hope you guys are doing well. Looking forward to seeing you guys this weekend.
I'm looking forward to it. Well, we hadn't seen y'all. I think Waynesboro was the last place we saw y'all, wasn't it?
Probably so. Not one of our better cooks, but it was one of your better cooks, if I remember correctly.
This is a pretty good weekend.
It was a good weekend. Oh, the folks in Waynesboro treat us so well down there, though, so it's always fun to go down there and cook. But I'm also looking forward to Greenwood this weekend. It's an excellent place to come cook. And I'm so looking forward to some of the blues down there that they play. It's a wonderful place.
I'm shooting for a little redemption in Greenwood this weekend.
Well, dude, you've already won the thing. What else do you want, you big pig? Come on now.
Well, you know, I'm not bringing any red paper towels with me this year.
Well, you did get a bumpy. So you're not bringing any white ones either?
I think I'll just leave them all at home, period, and just turn the boxes in the way that they are.
Hey, I can match you on some stories of crazy things I've done, but, but you know, when I heard that, I'll never forget that. But I really never will. My jaw hit the floor, but nonetheless.
I was actually cooking across from Bubba at that contest, and when he told me about the pork, I really thought he was just pulling my leg. But then he had this look like a deer in headlights, and he says, "No, I'm serious." And he said, I did that. So, you know, I haven't been there yet to do that. I'm trying not to. I'm trying to learn from everybody else's mistakes, but Bubba pretty much did that thing once until that came around. So it was.
Well, I have to laugh, though, because I'm laughing at myself, too. Marcia and I were disqualified in Kings Mountain in 2009, because we were like 2 seconds in rips. And honest to goodness, I came back and did an analysis and all that, and all we had to do was be in the top 10 in ribs, and we would have won this blasted thing, but as it turned out, we were DAL. And we were 2 seconds late, literally 2 seconds. And what's so funny about it is we were arguing about which ribs to put in the box, so. Anyway, that was a big lesson for us. We learned, okay, these folks are serious regardless of how well you know the reps are serious. So just get your butt in gear and go ahead and do it.
Well, I know it's going to be a really good competition this weekend up in Greenwood. Like I said, it's good to see Roger Marsh, as always. We're actually going to be parked right next to him. And, you know, we're going to try to do some stuff either on Thursday, Friday night. But Greenwood does have some very, very fine restaurants within walking distance of the contest. If anybody needs to know, you can call Bubba after the show. He knows all the restaurants. He steered me to one last year, so, you know, he knows most of these venues by now. But yeah, so, Roger, you do some catering and stuff, don't you?
I do.
And if I'm not mistaken, you just did one for Richard Petty Enterprise not too long ago. And I know I saw a lot of pictures on Facebook and stuff. Looked like not only was it a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun, too. And, you know, that's all part of doing this barbecue. You know, it's a lot of work, but you really enjoy doing it. And you love seeing people's faces when they light up. I know with Michael and his new restaurant and Bubba, you know, you can tell because you get the same people coming back and they become really good regulars. So, you know, and that's what really makes you smile. It's just... the money's good, don't get me wrong, but you know, you really want to see people come back and then they bring friends. And like as Bubba just, you know, expanded, that's what it's all about, growing your business.
Well, the Richard Petty situation for us is really a nice surprise. They caught wind of us at another catering gig we had, and they called us up, and they knew that I did competition barbecue, which means I'm not giving you the stuff that you can get down here at the local restaurant. And, you know, the retail barbecue, no offense, Bubba, is good. But, you know, as well as I do, or anybody knows as well as I do, you cannot do competition-style barbecue in restaurants. It's just not feasible. And so when we cater, we really try to do the competition-style stuff. I do have to tone it down a little bit, though, because we all know that from a judging perspective, you have to cut it down a little bit, otherwise it'd be too rich for the average person if we're going to eat a whole plate of barbecue. But we did really well down there. They seemed to be impressed, and we've got a lot of promises for some good gigs in the future. So I'm really looking forward to that. So that's one of the benefits of cooking competitively. But I'm really jealous of people like Bubba who had the gonads. I guess you can say that here. to go out and open these restaurants and keep doing it. And so I just get tickled to death when I hear people like Bubba and Tuffy and people that have taken their successes and use it to their advantage and make a successful restaurant. So, now, Bubba, what can I say? I'm just tickled to death. You guys are doing well.
Well, you know, the thing that we had mentioned earlier, and I don't know if you were listening when we were talking about it, you know, I love what I do. I absolutely love what I do. I mean, there's definitely, you have days where you don't want to be around. Matter of fact, the last 2 days I've taken off to do stuff around my house that I've just needed to catch up on and not be involved with the restaurant. But there really has to be a passion there for it, I think. I'm fortunate that I'm good at what I do, and I've been able to turn it into a successful business. But, you know, if you don't enjoy it, you know, for me personally, I just don't see a whole lot of sense in doing something. You know, even if you're making good money at something, I mean, is making good money just the sole reason you're doing something? I don't believe in that myself. I love what I do. I love, you know, what y'all are talking about having people coming back to my place. Aside from any trophies that I get out on the road or anything like that, seeing people come back into my place, that's the biggest reward that I can get out of anything that I do.
And then they bring friends and stuff, because we've noticed that down at our sandwich shop. You know, when I go down there, you see the same guys in there 3 or 4 times a week. You know, we offer a little bit different variety, but still, just to see them come back, and, you know, when you're out there, not mention your whole staff, but you know, you see a very small percentage of the actual people that come through both restaurants. And, you know, for you to notice people, you know, day in and day out, coming back and bringing other people and all this other stuff, that's the biggest trophy you could get right there. I mean, it's the people coming in.
And that's the very jealousy I'm talking about. That's why I'm jealous of you guys. Because there's nothing like, I don't it sounds crazy. Maybe to the person that's outside of barbecue or cooking. It just feels good to make people happy when they eat. There's so many ways to make people happy, but when you hit that tummy just right, it just feels good. I like it.
I don't see anything crazy with it at all. I mean, whether it's being in the restaurant business or anything else, I just, you know, knowing that you've done a good job and people enjoy what you've done, that's a tremendous reward in itself. It makes me feel proud of what I do. It makes me feel proud of my staff. And our name out there. I mean, it just there's nothing like it. I mean, there just is absolutely nothing like that. Not in my opinion.
I agree wholeheartedly, Bubba. And I'm gonna switch gears a little bit. Let's go to Greenwood this weekend. The people know I love Greenwood. Charlie does an excellent job down there. It's just the city really supports it. The people turn out for it. And I definitely love to hit all the different venues down there for music. But I've got to go for some local food. And I would love anybody listening to call in and give some recommendations on restaurants to eat. I do not want barbecue, by the way. Prime Rib would be great, by the way, if anybody's got any suggestions for that.
We're putting together we're going to the pizza place Thursday night.
Is this the one we were talking about earlier?
No, the pizza place I was talking about was about 20 miles away in McCormick. It's called Little Italy.
Okay.
It's not the only restaurant in McCormick, but I'm going to tell you what, their pizzas are phenomenal.
The guys who got support downtown Greenwood,
I understand that.
That's why. We do that Friday and Saturday night. That's fair enough, I think, don't you?
Well, there's the pizza place there in Greenwood, and I can't remember the name of it for the life of me. Fabulous, fabulous place that we go and eat at there. And then I think Friday night we're talking about doing a dinner. I've got some ahi tuna that I'm going to cook Friday. I think Danny Randall.
Is that all?
I'm thinking I'm going to do.
You don't have enough to feed everybody now. Don't broadcast that.
I think I'm going to get some oysters, too, and do some oysters up there.
No.
My Killer Bees and Pick a Porkers do that. We have to do that.
I'll show you some oyster shooters that will take you, just make your toes stand straight up.
Well, you know, my problem with oysters, you know, I love raw oysters, but I literally can't eat them. They make me sick every time I eat raw oysters. But, you know, we do some roasted oysters or something like that, or Rockefeller or who knows what, you know. But I'm not committing on the oysters yet. I was just thinking about that earlier today. But I know I am doing some ahi tuna on Friday, and I don't know what else anybody else is bringing out there. But listen, guys,
let me encourage you to think harder about these oysters. Please bring them. If I need to share the cost with you,
I know that's your big, big weakness there, Roger. But you remember the oysters that I did in Lawrence?
Say that again about Lawrence.
Yeah, the oysters, when we did a potluck dinner up in Lawrence, was it last year or the year before, and I brought all those oysters over, I might do those.
I
don't know. We'll see.
I sucked them all down.
Listen, guys, I hate to cut this. I've got something else I need to deal with my kids, actually. But I enjoy calling in, and if there's ever anything I can do for anybody, y'all don't hesitate to reach out, and I'll help you the best that I can out there. For y'all that are traveling this weekend, safe travels on the roads, and we will see y'all Thursday or Friday.
We'll see you, Bubba. Take care. Take care, Bubba.
Bye-bye.
So, Jim, where we left out here? We don't have Bubba Dell in there anywhere, buddy?
We've got Michael. Michael, you still on, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm still on, Jim.
So one other thing besides, I know y'all probably cook barbecue down at your shop, but I know you have a big night on Thursday night, steak night and everything. You got live music and everything. What are some of the other things?
When we first opened this thing up, Jim, we decided to do a steak night on Thursday night. You know, everybody comes out and gets barbecue, and they get their fix. And it's been very overwhelming. Right now, we've been in business for about 90 days, and we're turning about 42 ribeyes on a Thursday night right now. We've got a little live music out on the patio, and you know, people just come out and enjoy themselves. They have a good ribeye. You know, we serve it with a baked potato, a tossed salad, and it's just, you know, it's a big tailgate, and everybody enjoys that. And where our location is out there, you know, there's really no place to eat. We're kind of in the middle of Beaufort, and we're kind of in the middle of Hilton Head. We're the center point. And there's a lot of communities out there, you know, where I live. Some of them are retirement communities. Some of them are, you know, high-end communities. So, you know, Thursday nights have been real well, you know, it's done real well for us, and we're going to continue those, and you know, hopefully they'll grow each and every week.
That's good. I hope we hope it doesn't really take away from your competition schedule. Like I said, I just met you this year, and we kind of bonded at a couple of these contests and stuff, struck up conversations and stuff. So, you know, it's always good to meet these people. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, it's funny you said that, because, you know, since we've opened up the restaurant, we haven't stopped competing, but it's been very, very hard to get back out on the road. You know, I've caught the tail end of you know, what Bubba was talking about earlier, about having to be there and you know, making sure things are right. I mean, that's your name. You know, you want a good name. You want to serve a good quality food at a reasonable price. And you know, when you first start out, I mean, you've got to be there, and you've got to watch over your people. You've got to be in there with them, you know, doing it, doing taste tests, making sure they're not overcooking things, making sure the right ingredients are in them. Because these people that do come back, you know, two times a week or three times a week, you want your food to be consistent. Because when it's not consistent.
Huh? They want the same quality and everything every time they come back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's got to be consistent.
And you do have a learning curve when you open your business, even with new employees and stuff. It's a big learning curve. Not everybody's going to work out. So it's how you handle all that.
Yeah, I mean, you surround yourself with good people, and, you know, you may learn some things from them. They're going to learn some things from you. But, you know, if you work as a team, it makes it so much fun, and you've got to have a passion for barbecue. You've got to have a passion to be in the restaurant business by itself in order to put in 16 to 18 hours a day until you find good people that that will relieve you for some of your duties, you know, while you do go on vacation, like Bubba just said, or, you know, to go and do other things that are pending, you know, household things. So, you know, we're getting there. I mean, I've got a good group of guys, good group of ladies. My wife helps me out, and she's got a full-time job on top of that. So, you know, it's a learning curve, but, you know, we're in it to win it.
All right, well, I'm just glad, start to see a few more teams that have been competing for a couple of years or longer than that. They're starting to venture out onto the restaurant side because, you know, if they're cooking good food, they want people to enjoy it. And,
that's right.
You know, not that chain restaurants don't put out quality food. It's just you're not going to get really any better quality food out there as far as barbecue stuff than people competing. Yeah, we don't put as much into it for judges. I mean, for the business as we do for judges, but you're still going to get, it's going to be so close, the average person won't be able to tell the difference. And it's going to be some of the best
part of the You're right. I mean, it's, you know, some of the things, you know, we incorporate into our restaurant that we do at competitions, you know, sometimes we'll inject with apple juice, you know, as far as the restaurant goes. Sometimes we don't, depending on what, you know, what brand of meat we have that week from U.S. Foods. But, you know, we're making all our sauces now, and that's been a pretty good hit, you know, down where I live. We've got a sweet red sauce that's taken off, and we've got a mustard-based sauce that, you know, people buy it by the bottles. So, you know, we're excited about that, too.
Well, you know, like Roger said, you know, when he does he'll back me up. You know, when you do catering, you get really, really close to doing it competition style. Because a lot of times, if you're pulling up to the thing, to the venue that you're going to be catering at, and they want to see the rig or they want to see the smoke going and everything, you're not going to really cut as many corners, so to speak, doing that for them as you would for your restaurant. Because everybody knows if you put as much into your restaurant as you did in competition, people wouldn't be able to afford your food.
No, I mean, you couldn't keep the cost
so
down. You're right.
Enough. Not that we're doctoring it up, but it's that we're trying to add as much flavor. We're trying to just make it, it's a one bite concept.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
they got to be wow.
That's right. It's a competition, and you're gonna step it up for that week if you want to walk or if you want to. You know, if you want to win, I mean, you've got to be on your, you got to have your best sauce, your best rub, and you know, these guys around here anymore, I mean, there's a lot of good cookers from Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. I mean, and when they come with their A game, and if you don't have your A game, you're wasting your money. I mean, it's just it's gotten that competitive. Over the last, and I've only been in competition barbecue for 2.5 years, and I've got a lot more to learn.
I would think most of them come with A game, but I sure do see my share of the partiers.
Well, yeah, you do, exactly.
And I am guilty of that very thing in 2007. So.
You know, we've done it before. You know, when we cook close to home, we've got a lot of friends and family to come over, and you know, I won't say that we haven't emptied a few kegs in our time, you know.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so, you know, those kind of things we put behind us now, and, you know, we're there to compete. We're there to do the best we can, and just like everybody else.
Well, gosh, when you have $1,000 plus involved in each contest, you know.
Exactly.
You can drink. You can, you can party it away, or you can get out there and try to at least break even, so. I had to have a hard heart on myself, and I think a lot of teams that eventually have any successes do the same thing.
Yeah.
You don't have to be so stuck up. I mean, you go out and have a beer with them and stuff, but, you know, you got to realize what you're really there for, and that's a big thing. Some people there, they're just there to party. But teams that do well, they're still going to hang out together. They're still going to talk to one another and everything. But, you know, it's like even though we're not making a living out of this, we've got a job to do when we show up to these contests. And everybody's got pretty much about the same prep time, and, you know, some hot fast and some low and slow at a good time, but there's still some spots in there where you can go visit other teams. So if you're a new competitor, go out and talk to Chicken Porkers, Bubba Q. They'll be glad to talk to you anytime. You know, even Palmetto Smokehouse, I mean, Pitbull, all these guys, Georgia Boys, they'll talk to you. And, you know, they'll tell you how to get things rolling and everything in the right direction, especially new competitors. You know, we're not going to give out our secrets, but, you know, we'll give you some pointers, get you in the right direction, and it's up to you to do your practice cooks and all this other stuff. I mean, it's not just go out and cook. I've done 2 practice cooks in between the last 3 to 4 weeks. I know a lot of other teams have too, but that's, you know, that's a good thing about catering is you can kind of use your clients as guinea pigs on what they think about your food. And then, you know, you can taste it if you want to change a rub on or whatever. That gives you the opportunity to experiment with a little bit. And a lot of times it benefits you. So I know Roger does practice cooks. I've talked to him several times. I know Michael's done a few practice cooks. I mean, you've got to keep your quality sharp and honed in for these judges.
Oh,
yeah, you got to stay on your A game.
I agree, I think we all as competitors, and I am guilty of what I'm fixing to say, but, and Jim, I think we had some earlier discussions on that, is that I know what scored well years past, and I'm reluctant to change. But I'm going to lay out a big, big either bombshell or secret here that's going to shock some people, because it goes against my grain. I do not like using bottled salt, but I think I either got second or third ribs in Greenwood last year. You guys take note of this. You're going to love it. I use, get a load of this, Bullseye barbecue sauce. And I don't ever, and this is no lie, I promise it is not. They do not sponsor me. They have nothing to do with what I do. But it was one of those deals where you just get frustrated and you say, okay, I'm not swearing well here. Let me just go with what the public likes. Let's see what happens. And I looked through my notes today, and sure enough, it was Bullseye barbecue sauce I put on there. And I rarely use a bottled sauce. So there's a secret. I don't know if it's worth anything to anybody, but for those people that use bottled sauce, I suggest you perhaps to go. You can believe me or not, but I promise you, I'm just straightforward as I can make it.
Well, like I said, sometimes you got to think outside the box, and sometimes you got to think inside a bottle, either the barbecue sauce or whatever. So, you know, you got to do what works for you. I mean, they're looking for a certain flavor profile. So you have to tweak your recipe to what, you know, a lot of people come out, even a barbecue shouldn't ask the guy, said, I'm not cooking to the judges, I'm cooking to what I like. Well, I got news for you. If you don't start cooking to what the judges like, you're never going to do any good in this competition. Because,
that's right.
Like 9 out of 10 times, you know, what we do is over the top, but it's what pleases the judges. You know, like the barbecue chicken skin. I like mine crunchy. Everybody likes their crunchy. That's the way barbecue chicken's supposed to be. But in competition, it's going to be bite free. Even though the judges won't admit it, if it's not bite free, you're not going to score with the crap. So, you know, you have to go through a certain series of events to get your barbecue chicken. And you don't get it on every piece. It's amazing, but you don't. So, you know, it's these little hoops we have to jump through to please the judges. And if you're not willing to do that, then, you know, maybe competition barbecue is for you, unless you just like hanging out with teams and, you know, blowing $800-$900 on a contest. I can't afford to do that. So you have to kind of conform to the rules. You know, and everybody does it. Everybody who's successful has done it. And, you know, it's just the most successful ones have figured out exactly what kind of flavor profile works. You know, countrywide, which is very hard to do.
I was about to say, my cell phone is telling me that the battery is about to die out on me. For all those that are listening, geez, come to Greenwood this weekend. Look us all up. We'll be glad to talk to you with what we do. But in the meantime, I've enjoyed the talk session we've had, guys. Jim, good luck to you this weekend.
And to you, Rob. I'll park next to you up there. So there's Rogers and Pickett Porters. Very fierce competitor, several grand championships. So, yeah, stop by and talk to him, talk to Marsha. They like to have a good time. So,
we'll see you guys. This thing is dying fast.
Thanks, Roger. Bye-bye. Michael, we've got another caller. I've got about 3 minutes. Let me see if we can take this other caller.
Hospital right now. He's not going
to come to the
show tonight, so he's got his mic.
Jim, can you hear me?
I can now. I think Daryl's got to tell us. We've got another show coming up at 8 o'clock.
Yep.
And, Michael, it was good talking to you, buddy.
Jim, it was good talking to you. Thank you for having me on your show. And good luck this weekend. And hopefully I'll see Bubba and those guys down on Smoking the Swanee.
Well, good luck down there, and like I said, Palmetto Smokehouse, go by and see them there. What are you in, Buford? Is that where you're at?
Yeah, we're between Buford and Hilton Head on Highway 170.
Okay, so those of you traveling around that area, go by and see them and have a drink, have an excellent meal. I promise you, you will not be sorry. Thanks for calling in, Michael.
All right, hey, Jim, thank you.
All right.
I'll talk to you later.
All righty, buddy. Take care.
All right, man, thanks.
We've got another caller. Got another caller, 993-1109.
What's up, brother? This is Brad. I was just going to let you know that we're doing a Low Country Bowl / margarita party Thursday night in Greenwood. So everybody come see us. We got plenty of food.
The fun keeps rolling. This is Brad K. BK Barbecue, LargeTime.net, Sparky, whatever. Good friend of mine from McCormick, South Carolina. Very tough competitor, and he will be up there at Greenwood also. I'm glad you made it in. I've got a brisket for you. And we'll see you up there. I'll be up there Thursday night. And,
all right, Low Country Bowl. We got sirloin steaks and all kind of good stuff. So we'll see you Thursday night.
I'll make a steak by here real shortly, and we're going to leave it for Chris Chadwick coming up. Thanks, Chris.
Chris Chadwick run into a problem. He won't be on tonight. So we got as long as you need.
Oh, okay. Well, Brad?
Jim.
How's your catering?
Jim
days,
We also have Jamie Mott on the line, I believe.
Okay. Jamie, are you there? Hello, Jamie? This is Jamie. Jamie, are you there?
Okay.
Yes, he's not.
Maybe he's not. Okay, go ahead.
Well, yeah, Brad, me and Danny Kugel showed out this weekend. He came down to help me out this weekend, and he showed up, and it was 110 degrees out there at the lake, and me and Danny cooked prime rib and brisket and shrimp for days. And Danny put on his hat and his black shirt and went in there, and he carved prime rib for 2 hours, 3 hours. We had a blast.
Yet I didn't have a missed call from either one of y'all.
3 to 2 hours. But yeah,
that
it was
Danny, bowls up in smoke. He's got an online school here on Barbecue Superstars. If y'all need some help or haven't taken a class yet and need some direction, that's a really good class to take. He's a very tough competitor. He knows what he's doing. And you won't be sorry if you take his class. And is Jamie Mott back on here yet? I don't think so. Who's 4958?
That's Daryl.
843-735. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening. Jim Berg, Seth Latari here.
Hey, Seth. How you doing, buddy? Seth Latari.
Good. Just thought it.
Somerville, South Carolina. How you doing tonight?
Thought I'd slide in here and wish you guys good luck this weekend. I know Greenwood's going to be a great place. It's always been a great show down there. So we're going to be up in the hills of North Carolina this weekend, so we're going to miss the show. But wish you guys best luck.
I appreciate that, Seth. So while I've got you on here, how's the SBN doing?
Hey, it's doing real good. Picked up 3 new events since the spring. And we're talking to a couple of new locations down here on in the Charleston area. And this is a good problem to have, I guess, because we're running out of manpower real quick.
Well, like I said, if you're going to experience some growing pains, like, and you know, if you have a good good venue, you have good sponsorship. You know, you have a good organization like the Southern Barbecue Network. It's going to continually grow, and I really haven't heard any bad things about the Southern Barbecue Network other than posting results and competitions. But really and truthfully, I've done several SBNs, and I've really enjoyed them. It's more of a laid back. So those of you who really want to think about starting to get into competition barbecue, it's a very good sanctioning body to start with. It's two, sometimes three meets, sometimes just one. But you're going against people that have won grants in KCBS, FBA, South Carolina Barbecue Association. All those you're going to be competing against. So it's going to give you a good variety of teams and where you stand in the professional world of barbecuing. Now, Seth, you've got some coming up. We got Spruce Pine coming up in a week and a half, and which is up in North Carolina. What's on the agenda? I know Myrtle Beach is at the end of August. What's the
right.
next one coming up? I know Brad's involved in one of them.
Right. it'll be Union right after that, Union, South Carolina. And after that will be McCormick. And the Dorchester Shrine Club, both of them on the same day. That's the 14th and 15th of September. We're going to take a week off and regroup, and then we're going to hit it hot and heavy with 3 events on the 28th and 29th, one in Manning, one in Berkeley, and the other one in Augusta there with the Great Harvest Food Bank. And then
what date is the one in Augusta?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
What date is the one in Augusta?
The one in Augusta is the 28th and the 29th of September.
All right.
So Brad,
on the calendar.
I know you're kind of heading up the one up for McCormick. That is what, like the 15th and 16th of September?
Yes.
That's the 14th.
Yes, it's always 14th.
Brad.
Go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, it's always the third weekend of September there.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm here. The third weekend in September.
Yeah, hear me? Hello?
Hey, I believe we got Jamie Moss back on the line, too. What's up, Jamie?
How y'all doing?
All right.
Doing well. How you doing, Jamie?
Oh, I'm doing good. Getting ready for this weekend. Getting excited about it.
That's good. Now, you're going to be up in Greenwood also, aren't you?
Yeah, I was calling aren't you going to be in spot 60?
I'm going to be in 55, I believe, is my spot.
That's right. Okay, well, we're going to be right there. We're going to be right there close together. We got spot 53.
Okay, yeah, you're probably right behind me.
Yeah, I'm just wanting to see how close we were together. I wanted to be for sure. Yeah, we're going to get down there Friday around 1 o'clock.
Okay. This is Jamie Mott from Finger Lickin' Tailgating. They are tailgating competition team. What got you into doing tailgating, starting to venture into the professional side of it? I know you do a lot of catering and stuff. Is it just the passion that you have for it and you want to venture out a little bit further, or if you lost your mind, or what?
I grew up cooking. I said the other night, you know, I started cooking with my dad when I was probably 5-6 years old, doing barbecues, cooking whole hogs, and, you know, I kind of wanted to get into going to the game, which I've always been a big Gamecock fan, and I kind of wanted to get into cooking at the games, and it seems like every game I kept trying to add something and get bigger and bigger, and ended up meeting up with some guys down there, and we hit it off real good. It's been probably 5 years ago now. And we started finger licking tailgating. And we do a lot of catering between Columbia and North Carolina, down towards Charleston. We're pretty much all over with our catering. And I told the guys, I was like, you know, we sit here and we do all this barbecue and we like to, you know, critique ourselves. I said, we got to get into this barbecue competing. And, you know, I've done 2 this year so far, and I said, well, everybody's told me I need to go get over there to Greenwood and try it out over there, so that's what got me to Greenwood.
Are you bringing your chicken finger with you, or?
I'm sorry.
Are you going to bring your chicken finger?
My chicken finger?
Yeah.
I'm cooking with one of my buddies from Newberry. We're actually cooking under Berry Patch Barbecue, but I'm going to be representing finger licking through Berry Patch.
Well, a lot of teams, you know, when they start out, you know, it's however you get the money to compete, you know, you can represent several teams, but that just shows, you know, the passion that you have for it is like you're not really stuck on one name, kind of like me, I guess, but. But, you know, I know seeing your videos and Chris Fulmer from Multiple Tailgaters is a good friend of mine. And I know just from seeing you on the tube and stuff that, you know, you put on one hell of a spread and it looks like you can just about feed everybody in the stadium when you get done cooking. And is that what you do at all the games? Or, I mean, do you go to all the home games, or what do you do?
We do every home game, and we do 95% of the away games. We've went as far as Louisiana. We haven't made it to Arkansas. We've traveled to every stadium in the SEC. You know, now we got 2 other teams that's been added into the mix. I don't know when we'll make it to their stadiums, but we try to follow the team, and we got to. I've one heck of a group of people that travels with us, follows us. I mean, just like at the SEC Championship game 2 years ago, I mean, we shut one whole parking lot down. I mean, we probably had 500 people over there tailgating with us. And, I mean, it's just, when people find out what finger licking is doing, they seem to rally around us, and it's a good feeling because we put on a good time, and we have good food, and we, you know, it's all about having fun. I mean, if you're not enjoying yourself, then it's no point in doing it.
Right, and that's what we're talking about, you know, with these businesses, with Bubba Q and Michael Harm with Palmetto Smokehouse, and Rescue Smokehouse, you know, even Johnny Mitchell's up in New Harley, Georgia. I mean, some of these teams, you know, they compete and they cook because they love it that much. And it's not necessarily the trophies that you win or the competitions that you win, but where you're really winning is the smile on people's faces when they come back for seconds, and then you start seeing these same guys, these same people at every game making their way, trying to find out where you're at so they get some of your really good food. And, you know, like I said, we own a small restaurant, and we know what it's like when people come back and new people come up and say, well, how'd you hear about it? Well, so-and-so said I had to try this, or so-and-so said I had to do this. You know, so it makes us feel good that, you know, all of our people that come to us, we don't do any advertising. It's all word of mouth.
That's right.
This year's been one of our best years in these hard times. You know, we're only open for lunch, so my wife does an excellent job down there. I don't have a whole lot to do with that. I do go down there and help her occasionally when she's got some big orders to get out. But, I mean, it's just, you know, just seeing people with the smiles on the face when they eat, or saying they're going to come back, and then they actually do come back. That's when you know you've got good food. And, you know, first impressions of everything.
Yeah, that's the satisfaction we get. I mean, right there, especially when we're at our home games, and, you know, we, like I said, we have people that follow us when we travel also. But the guy, he's over our parking lot. He's already called, and he's like, man, y'all really have hit something good here. He says, I got people blowing my phone up trying to get close to y'all. And you know, it's just that satisfaction knowing we don't charge anybody. Anybody who wants to come party and eat, all we do is we put a tip jar up there. And if you want to give a tip, that's great. If you don't, party with us. I mean, you know, it's the satisfaction of seeing somebody having a good time, putting that smile on their face, and then continuing to come back. And the tip jar takes care of itself. I mean, it really does.
Yeah, and it's not like you're really expecting so much per plate or anything.
Right.
You know, it's more like for the whole experience. Because I know y'all put on a hell of a show. It's just not about the food. I mean, y'all just have a very well-organized tailgating area. You have a lot of fun, you know, and that's what these games are all about. You know, it makes people relax. They're not all uptight about the game when they get a full belly in them, and, you know, they've seen y'all, talk to y'all, and even, you know, during the game, whatever. You know, it just makes the whole experience of the game that much better. And if people's never tailgated these events, they need to find, you know, Ultimate Tailgaters or Finger Licking Tailgating, two of the best in the Southeast, I can guarantee you that, with the quality of the food and the spread that they put out. But, you know, if you go into a South Carolina Gamecock game, I know these guys will be there every single time. So go by and see them, you know, say hello, eat some of their great food, you know, help them out a little bit. You know, it doesn't hurt, but, you know, you're going to get some real quality competition-style food. And, like I said, it makes the whole experience better. It's, you know, you can't ask for more than that.
That's right. That's what it's all about. It ain't about money. It's about just having a good time. And that you get everything you need out of that. I mean, and that's what we're looking for in the barbecue competition. I mean, you know, yeah, we want to win, and we want to put on have a good impression on people. But we're gonna have a good time. I mean, I'm not saying we're gonna sit out there and drink beer and this, that, and other. But it's about enjoying what you're doing. And then, you know, if you enjoy what you're doing, everything else comes with it.
That's right. It'll come back to you tenfold, and that's one reason why we like to do it, because, you know, we know in the long run, everybody's going to have a good time, everybody's going to get fed, everybody's going to really love the food, and, you know, food and fellowship, I mean, that's, you can't ask for any more than that. And we've got another caller, 731-707. Who do we have on the air?
This is Kevin Hamlin.
How you doing?
Good. How's it going?
We're doing pretty well. Are you competing or you?
Yes, sir. I've competed against Chris a few times, and well, actually, we went to high school together, and I was just calling show him my support.
He went to high school. I need a team name if you got one, and where do you compete at, or you know, what's your
My team name is Custom Cookers. We're from Paris. We're from Paris, Tennessee.
I can't get in.
Hey,
I can hear him.
Chris, are you ready to do your show now?
Hey, brother. Just got in the door. Here I am.
Okay.
Ready to rock and roll.
All right. Well, we're gonna knock Jim off, Jim, if it's all right. And Chris, call back on 646-200-444. And
okay. All right.
Have you got the PIN number?
I got it, Daryl. I got it. I can't get in until I couldn't get in, but I'll hit it right now.
Okay. Well, Jim, thanks a lot. What a wonderful show, man. Hell yeah. We got to give Jim a huge hell yeah. I'm going to play his music now. He's got an exit song, and I did get it up, Jim, so I'm going to play that for you. But everybody give Jim a big round of applause, and wow, what a show, Jim. Hell yeah.
Appreciate that. I want to give a shout out to Royal Oak, one of my sponsors, TNT Smokers, Southern Barbecue Smokers, Southern Q, and Greg from Fireside Outdoor Kitchen and Grills. Thanks for having me on the show, and I hope you all enjoyed it.
Am I still on here?
We got the Chris Chadwick show coming up right now. Jim Berg just hit a killer bees over the fence. We're gonna do a little exit music while Chris is calling in. So hang up, Jim, so Chris can call in.
All righty. Thanks, Daryl.
Thanks, man.
Hey, Daryl.
Uh-huh.
Am I still... Do I need to hang up? This is Kevin.
No. Everybody hang on, because Chris Chadwick will be right back.
Okay, thanks.